So the Prime Minister is to warn later today that another Brexit referendum would cause irreparable damage to British democracy, just as some of her closest aides have denied reports that they have been plotting behind her back to have one. The Prime Minister will tell the Commons that a new vote would send the message that democracy does not deliver. The SDLP's Claire Hannah is with us this morning. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
Good morning. The TV leader, Jim Allister. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's just hear before we... In fact, let's get into this straight away. We'll hear from Kate Hoey in a moment. Claire Hannah, how would it... Well, would it undermine democracy having another vote?
Well, the point is, I mean, I actually don't see how you can say that more voting is undemocratic. If people believe that that was the will of the people, and that's the only argument we get for Brexit these days, that it's the will of the people, because I think all of the glitter and stuff that was sprinkled on it at the start has started to wear off. But the will of the people about 1,000 days ago, and certainly by the time we actually Brexit, we will have moved on and people will have a lot more information. And I think it's perfectly acceptable to test it. But the real reason is because Parliament, UK Parliament, appears to be deadlocked on this. If there was a majority for this deal or a different sort of deal or whatever, then people like me would probably have to accept it. But there isn't, and nobody can tell us where we go from
probably
here.
Accept it. Is that what you just said?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to be delighted about it, and we'd still be asking for the best possible protections, but there wouldn't be an argument. But those who are saying, nope, no more votes, the will of the people was a snapshot in time 2.5 years ago, how do we proceed now, given that there is absolutely no majority for anything else? And I don't believe that has been answered. And yes,
And so when those 17-odd million people, Claire, went out and voted in the referendum 2 years ago, what did they get for that?
But what they've got is 2.5 years of turmoil. Because in many
No, but what result did they get? They voted to leave the EU. They were told it was a one-off vote. What did they get?
It got 2.5 years of turmoil. Stephen, I don't know what else you can tell
But they
me.
Voted to leave and they
but
won.
The point is, Stephen, there is no... clear, there is no version of what Brexit is. If you ask, you could probably, within Parliament, you can find 6 different versions of what people want from Brexit. So the next time somebody says, oh, we all knew exactly what we were voting for, why is it that the MPs didn't know what they were voting for? So that's the point. Like I say, if there was a consensus around it, then this wouldn't be on the table. And I don't doubt that there will be people who feel very let down, and I can understand that. But those same people will be very let down when the Brexit that they were promised and all the money for the NHS and all of these things they were told would happen won't happen and can't happen
okay.
because of the hit to the economy.
Jim Allister?
And the fact is, no matter what Brexit people like Jim Allister get, it won't be good enough for them, and they'll be blaming everybody else for the damage.
Jim?
Well, I think you have to ask the question, what's the motivation of those who ask for another vote? And the motivation is very clear. It is because they've never accepted the first outcome. They do not accept the democratic will, the greatest democratic exercise in the UK's history, when 17.4 million people voted to leave the EU. And ever since, we've had this campaign to thwart at every turn, in whatever way possible, that democratic decision. And the call for another vote is but the latest manifestation of that determination to try and repudiate and overturn the democratic decision of the people of the United Kingdom.
What type of Brexit, Jim, did they vote for at that referendum?
Canada
Plus, Norway,
yeah.
A hard deal, a soft deal, Theresa May's deal. What did people vote for?
They voted to leave. The question
but what
was,
type of leave?
Well, the leave is leave.
What type of leave is leave?
Let's analyse that. I don't hear you asking people who want to stay, what sort of remain do you want? Do you want a soft remain? Do you want a hard remain? What sort of remain do you want? But in order to vilify the very idea of leaving, we have all this nonsense asked about, do you want a soft leave, a hard leave? We voted to leave, and the path is quite clear. Parliament has laid out the path. Parliament has passed the withdrawal bill, which is now the Withdrawal Act of 2018, which says on the 29th of March, we leave. Now, if there's a deal by the 29th of March, we leave under that deal. If there's no deal by the 29th of March, we leave without.
But Jim, when you say it was the big
end of the world,
yeah, but I know you're trying to put
parliamentary court.
I know you're trying to put me off the scent, but let me repeat the question. When you say people voted to leave, what type of leave did they vote for? Because there are clearly lots of Norway, Canada Plus, Theresa May's version of leave, Jacob Rees-Mogg's version of leave, yeah. No Deal, Boris Johnson's version of leave. What type of leave did people vote for? And when you follow that logic, is it not now that there's more detail and the public understand the different versions of leave, why not give them a chance to vote for one of them?
They voted to leave lock, stock and barrel. They voted to leave so we're no longer under any of the institutions of the European Union, so we make our own laws.
That's not what the question asked.
We spend our own money. Now, you may want to pigeonhole it as you like, but most of the pigeonholes you've produced, like Norway Plus, are really leaving in name only. That isn't what people were promised. That isn't what people voted for. They voted to leave. And I think the exasperation of most people who voted with leave is that Parliament just won't get on with it. And, of course, the problem is that more than two-thirds of MPs voted Remain. And that's why, of course, they've been exercised to try and thwart Brexit. But the people gave a mandate. And to remind you of this, the Prime Minister of the time, David Cameron, told us very clearly, there is one vote in this. You make your decision. Now, I thought in saying that, he would terrify us out of voting leave. But it worked the other way.
What version of leave do you want? Never mind what other people voted for. What version of leave do you want?
I want a version where if we could get a proper deal, not a humiliating deal, not a Prime Minister who every time she goes over is humiliated, who's on her knees, and then they kick her again. I want to leave where if we can't get a proper deal, and it looks like we can't, then we leave on world trade terms, and we carry on controlling our own laws.
Claire?
It's pretty straightforward. It's not the end of the world.
Well, of course, the leave that Jim's talking about means certainly a hard border on the island of Ireland, and it also means
who's going to build it? Who's going to build it
On the other routes?
Sorry, Claire, who's going to build this hard border?
The fact is, it's a system of rules and laws.
Who's going to produce this hard border?
Hold on now, let's let her speak.
Every country and many companies will sue both of the governments and tell them that they have to do it. And it mightn't happen on, you know, the 2nd of April or whatever that Monday is, but it will inevitably happen over time. And
I'd like to come back to that.
The Chancellor and very many other people have said, we accept the WTO rules, and I've said this before, Jim, implies like this is some ready-made feather bed to fall into. It's not. A series of high tariffs that would absolutely devastate our agriculture industry. But this is the point, and the type of punch yourselves in the face Brexit that Jim seems to want, unfortunately for him, doesn't have a majority. So I go back to this. If we don't know what way we proceed, the only logical thing is to go back to the people. And there are people like Jim and the ERG who are hoping to run down the clock and go out with this extreme form of Brexit that it cancels out all form of regulation and it creates chaos, because a lot of people can make money out of chaos, and that's what this is about. But there are, I believe...
It's not about making money. Come on, there's a genuine fundamental difference in opinion over Brexit now, is there not?
I'm increasingly of the view that people like Jacob Rees-Mogg see this as a money-making expert. There is a school of thought around disaster capitalism, which is when...
Well, Jacob Rees-Mogg would very much object to that, wouldn't he? And he would say that he is fighting, as you are, as on a point of his political principle and what he believes is best for this country.
So let's talk about politics rather than personalise this, when he's not here to defend himself.
We don't need to get into Jacob Rees-Mogg this morning.
The point is, there's no way of going on. A lot of people are thinking, I just want Brexit over and done with. You know, just get this off the radio, get this off the TV. But this will not do this. We will be negotiating these deals for many
years. Here's Ryan in Belfast. Morning, Ryan.
Good morning. There's a couple of points I'd like to make. The first one is, I voted to leave right from the start.
What type of leave?
Leave for you altogether.
Yeah, but...
When we voted, it was leave or remain. There was nothing written on paper. It was just leave or remain. And like we said, we all voted to leave.
And did you have much understanding of what leave meant?
No, I didn't. But I believe in to the politicians to make the decisions for the British public.
But I guess the only issue with that, Ryan, is the politicians are now saying, there are quite a few politicians. Now, Jim Allister isn't one of them. He has always believed in leave. But there are quite a few politicians saying that they were Remainers, but they want to follow the wishes of the British people and leave. But then when we talk to you, you're saying, well, you voted Leave, but you didn't really know what the complexities of Leave meant.
Yes, but we need to let the British public who voted to Leave, let the country go with it.
Well, let me ask you a different way. Why did you vote Leave?
Because all the money we paid towards the EU, we don't get nothing much of it returned. Well, no, the British economy is one of the biggest in the part of the top five in the world. So the British country is big enough to stump herself.
So you believe? Did you believe the message on the bus, $350 million to the NHS?
Well, the NHS always struggled for years and years and years, so...
Stephen, could I say this? It'll be interesting when the first Remain cover comes on. If you interrogate them, when they voted Remain, did they vote for an EU army? Did they vote for the extreme version of the EU?
There is no EU army.
Oh, yes, there is going to be. That's the commitment.
There isn't.
But see, here we go again. Everything is to vilify Leave. But no one ever questions what it really means to remain. Does it mean that we would be part of an ever closer union where we would hand over more and more powers, where there would ultimately be an EU army? And yes, there would, but no Remain voter is ever taxed with that interrogation, because the trust is to try and undermine Leave and it's to make people feel stupid for voting Leave. And is this condescending, looking down the nose at Leave voters, which really is solidifying the Leave intent in this country?
Stephen, and that wasn't an interrogation. You're entitled, and the man was very happy to answer why he did vote Leave. And the fact is, I understand that a lot of people did feel that public services were underfunded, and that's why. There's a lot of evidence to show that the thought, the promise of $350 million extra for the NHS was really grabbed a lot of people, and I understand that. It's because services.
And we're now going to get $350 million extra.
Sorry.
And the Prime Minister in the latest budget is now committing $390 million per week extra to the NHS.
But they have made very clearly there's no Brexit dividend. That will be through extra taxation. And that's fair enough. I'm happy to see more money go to the NHS, but it's not coming from the fees. And as you know, that $350 million is not an accurate figure.
Simple question, Claire. Were we paying in more than we were getting out? Yes or no?
I let you speak. And for a start, we in Northern Ireland, where you and I represent, are by no means paying in more than we're getting out. We're getting out a lot more than
is we're not.
Even on our behalf.
No,
yes,
we're not.
We are. But all of the things, all of the EU army and spaghetti monsters that are going to come down and attack us and all of those things, the UK and the Supreme Court, the court ruling last week saying that Article 50 can be revoked, made clear that all of the UK's current opt-outs and rebates and vetoes would be intact in those. It's worth saying...
He's got a fair point, though, Claire.
The UK agreed to 98% of EU legislation. So this picture being painted of the EU having all this stuff forced down its throat is simply
not
true.
But, Claire, he's got a fair point in that he says that, you know, Remainers have got to... If Brexiteers have got to forecast what the future will hold, well, so too do Remainers. And you don't know how many powers... And how much lust for power the EU machine is going to have in the future. And people voted to leave to be free of all of that, to stand up on our own two feet and create trade deals with the world.
Right. Well, the world, who in the world? We have trade deals with two-thirds of the planet. The world is a very different place now in terms of Trump being in the White House and a much more aggressive Putin. It's my strong view that a strong, coherent Europe is a good defence.
With an army.
You're asking me to comment
with
on...
With an EU army, Claire.
Lost report. There is no...
Have you abandoned your pacifism? You now believe in the
Hold on now, Jim. Let's let her finish.
They have a veto in the same way, and this is a good example. Jim always talks about how the Irish were forced to vote again and, you know, all this kind of stuff, but they renegotiated the treaty that the Irish people didn't like, and they got a triple lock that said they would keep their neutrality in any way.
Here's James and Temple Patrick.
They can do that.
Morning, James.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, that just typifies why we can never agree. Parliament can't agree. The local politicians can't agree. The public can't agree. So democracy says that the only way forward would possibly be to go to a vote to let the people decide. And as a number of your callers have already said, they didn't know what they were voting for. Now,
don't be so insulting.
Jim, would you ever give somebody a chance to get a word in instead of saying 500 words,
saying people.
Two? I'm about to explain why. I voted to remain. The UK has a veto on a European army that you think is a proposal at the moment, not a plan. So can you stop creating panic amongst people and talk about whether you wanted to remain or leave? People have a right to change their mind. You're a lawyer. If somebody gave you went to court, they were found guilty, and you came across new evidence or new information, you'd want an appeal or you'd want a retrial. It's exactly the same for Brexit. People have got now far more evidence than they ever had and now wish to say...
Well, of course, if you use the analogy you're using, you wouldn't be entitled to a retrial unless there was fundamentally new evidence that hadn't been introduced at the stage. And what new evidence is there now?
Well, I think there's a whole pile. Take the backstop. No one ever knew we were going to end up with a situation with a backstop.
Jim Allister?
That in itself fundamentally changes the question.
New information also includes the fact that the Vote Leave campaigns have been found guilty of wrongdoing in terms of overspending.
Let's let Jim Allister reply to our caller, James.
Well, James, of course, being a Remainer, simply wants to reverse the decision. He doesn't like the decision.
No, I don't.
He doesn't accept the
You got me wrong again.
And that's the fundamental motivation of all who are parroting the demand for a fresh referendum. We didn't like the first outcome. Let's try and get a different outcome. That's the motivation. They can dress it up as they like.
They can pretend that
people were stupid. They can look down their noses at people and say,
never called anybody
these poor, stupid people.
I guess Jimmy hasn't said any of that. What he has said, Jim, is why not?
If need to be given another chance to change their mind.
Jim, he is saying that there is new evidence, and he describes you as a lawyer, and he asks you to look at what you would do if you were involved in a case where someone, a verdict had been given, and then new evidence was introduced. You would ask for a retrial. You would ask for a court to look again. Why not look again at this, given the new evidence of the difficulty around the backstop, which nobody predicted, for example, is what James is saying. Why not look at this again?
It's not a parallel with a criminal trial. The facts were on the table. People made their choice. New evidence? Well, if you want to talk about new evidence, let's talk about the fact that the EU has taken further steps in the last 2.5 years towards an EU army. Let's put that fact on the table. But you say that doesn't suit the narrative. The narrative is we must reverse it. The narrative by MPs who never wanted it is we must overturn it. But, you know, we had this debate. What people are now looking for is a loser's vote.
There was no debate over the backstop.
Those who lost now want to vote again.
Jim, the DUP, through Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, told me last week they didn't even game out the backstop. They didn't think about it because it wasn't on the agenda before the referendum.
Well, the backstop is a hoax. The backstop is built upon a false premise. A false premise that there would be a hard border. I've already asked the question this morning, who would build it? No one. UK isn't providing it, Dublin isn't providing it, and yet we have this backstop created in order to avoid something that will never be provided. We must have a backstop. It is a hoax writ large, and it's a hoax in order to try and thwart Brexit and to make Brexit uncomfortable and
undesirable
by breaking up the United Kingdom. So whoever responds to it, tell us, please, who's going to build the hard border?
James.
Right. Well, let's first of all get back to the question, which is simple.
If let's answer that one.
I will, Jim, if you give a minute and stop interrupting. Honest to God, you're the hardest man to try and explain things to, but clearly when you want to get your word in, you spend 500 words instead of 10. But listen for a minute, and you've got two ears and one mouth. Use them in that proportion. Now, if you actually go back to the question, Parliament can't agree. The people can't agree. So what's the way forward? I did not vote to be worse off under a no-deal Brexit. Now, you're a politician. You get paid. I have to go out and earn my living. So if I'm going to be worse off, are you going to supplement me? So we didn't understand the implications.
So
that's why I'm saying I'm not looking
for the result.
Jim,
Be quiet.
You don't want to accept the result.
But Jim, you're not listening. You're trying to talk.
Well, I'm hearing you very clear. You don't want to accept the result.
No, he's talking about if his life is worse off. He's talking about if his income is down. He's talking about if house prices go down. He's talking about some of the...
If you vote for a Labour Party and they get into government and your income goes down, or vice versa, you can't just say, I want another election. So you vote in a referendum, you get the result, you live with it.
But listen, Jim, here's the point. We voted for that. No one agreed. We didn't agree to where we were going to be. So the facts are all laid out for us now. Now, I am not looking to change the vote. I'm looking to find a way forward which allows the people to decide the way forward, because Parliament can't.
Okay.
Politicians can't.
Now, Kate Hoey, the Labour MP...
Who's going to build the hard border that says we need a backstop?
Now, the Labour MP, Kate Hoey, has said on Friday night there that the Prime Minister and what she described as a few jumped-up EU bureaucrats... must not be allowed to facilitate a united Ireland by the back door. Have a listen to this.
But as someone who grew up in Northern Ireland and proud, very proud to be pro-union, I feel very strongly about this. We didn't spend in Northern Ireland 30 years stopping IRA terrorists, killing soldiers, police and civilians in order to get a united Ireland, to allow a few jumped-up EU bureaucrats and a complicit Prime Minister to try to do the same thing by the back door. And even more ridiculously is that it would not even be in the interests, the economic interests of Northern Ireland, who depends so much on the trade to and from Great Britain. So why is a British Prime Minister dancing to the Irish Taoiseach's tune? There is no need for a hard border and there is no need for a backstop.
Well, that was at a Leave Means Leave rally in London. You heard the reception Kate Hoey got for that. A British Prime Minister complicit in a united Ireland? 0-30-30-80-55-55. David Noma. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
I want to make a few comments. I hear a lot of bluster coming from the like of Claire Hannah and people who are pro-EU. And there's two simple questions. One is, how can we trust the EU, an organisation which is not democratic, it's bureaucratic, it hasn't published financial accounts ever, as I understand, for 20 years or whatever. How can we, if an organisation can't be upfront and honest, how can we believe what it says? And another very simple thing is, in UK, in Northern Ireland, we get a lot of help from the UK financially. Some of it might come indirectly through the EU, but it comes from the UK. And we in the UK are buying more from the EU than the EU are buying for us. So I think...
What about in Northern Ireland?
I'm talking about the UK because we get our money...
But you live in Northern Ireland, don't you?
I live in Northern Ireland.
Okay, so what about Northern Ireland? What about we get more?
You're not waiting until I get the last point. The EU sells more to the UK than the UK sells to the EU. Therefore, what are the French farmers, what are the German car manufacturers and all those people, what are they going to do if the thing is cut off? It's a very simple thing to me. If you buy more from me than I buy from you, then if I stop buying, stop trading, you're the one that's going to lose out. And I think they're trying to bluff and they're trying to... make sure that we don't have the result of the democratic vote of the people of the UK. And Jim Allister is talking a lot of sense there this morning. I'm not an Allister voter, but he's talking a lot of sense.
Michael Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. I notice how hard you are on Jim, but yet you've yet to challenge Claire. Yet to challenge Claire.
That's simply not true.
Listen, let me finish, Stephen, for goodness sake. That last caller was right. You interrupt people. You did not challenge her by asking them a simple question. Claire, who is going to implement this hard border? You did not challenge her once on that. Now, what is the answer to that? What is all the Remainers' answer to that? Who is going to implement the hard border? They don't have an answer to it.
I'm afraid to interrupt now unless you tell me off.
No, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what to do, Stephen. Ask and hang on to the question until you get an answer. Either from Claire or anyone, who is going to implement the hard border? Stephen, simple question. Let's hear her, how she answers the question. If she answers it, I doubt she will, but nonetheless, let's give her the opportunity.
And Jim and Derry. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Morning all there. Claire made a couple of points there, which I think she's quite wrong about. Like one, she said...
Claire's not with us anymore, by the way. She's away.
Never mind. She can, I'll still answer. I'll still make the points. She said we didn't do anything for the last 2 years. Well, they've negotiated an agreement, which people may not agree with. She also said we don't know what Brexit looks like. Well, we do. We were in... Before we joined the EU, we didn't have. We were in actual Brexit for the last 100 or couple of 100 years, so we know what Brexit looks like. And the other thing is, which she totally doesn't even mention, is when we voted on the first referendum in the 70s, we voted for a trade deal. That is all we voted for, was a trade deal. And that's all we want now. And the EU are backtracking and will not give us what we originally voted
but
for.
But if you all feel so passionately about this...
Sorry?
If people like you, Brexiteers, feel so passionate about this, why not have your views endorsed by another vote?
We've already had two, Stephen. We had one in the 70s. We voted for a trade deal. That's what we voted for. That's what we got. We had another one in 2016 because the EU was getting out of hand. It was taking over everything. Wanting a whole finance department, wanting an EU-wide army, wanting a foreign office. That is not what we voted for in 1970.
Can I?
That's why we voted to get out in 2016.
Jim Allister, can I bring you back to what Kate Hoey said on Friday night, which we replayed this morning? Do you think the Prime Minister's deal, proposed deal, brings us closer to a united Ireland?
Absolutely. And maybe a commentary on that is the fact that one of the cheerleaders for it are Sinn Féin. Those who supported and still justify that IRA murder campaign are now supporting and demanding the backstop. Why is that?
Well, now that's... You can't draw a parallel between people who have a legitimate view on a backstop and link that to violence.
I can point out that Sinn Féin...
Come on.
I can point out the fact that Sinn Féin endorsed, supported... still justifies the IRA murder campaign. I can point out that Sinn Féin endorse, support, and want to see implemented the backstop. Now, why would that be? Well, quite simply because the backstop does annex Northern Ireland from the rest of the United Kingdom, keeps us in EU territory, legally declares us part of the customs union of the EU, something that the rest of the United Kingdom is not. It imposes regulatory borders down the Irish Sea. If that's not about dividing Northern Ireland off from its being an integral part of the United Kingdom, then I don't know what it is.
You've got the Good Friday Agreement to protect Northern Ireland's place in the UK.
In that direction. And that is what Kate Hoey was saying.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have advocated Brexit then.
Oh, I want Brexit because Brexit sustains the United Kingdom as a freestanding, independent, prosperous nation of which we are happily a part and in which we will benefit from the prosperity. And, of course, the real problem that nationalism has with Brexit is they know it will bring prosperity and they know when the prosperity comes and we all share in it that the option of a united Ireland will fade far into the distance.
I think Daniel
That's
wants to speak this morning.
So upset with Brexit.
I think Hello, Daniel Stephen. Wants to speak. Morning, Daniel. Stay there. You can speak to Jim after the news. Daniel in West Belfast. Jim Allister's all yours.
Hello, Jim Allister. There was a fellow phoned last week to Stephen Owen's show, a man called Niall, and he made a really good proposal. He said that instead of having a UK-wide referendum again, why not have a referendum in the north of Ireland on the backstop proposal? Not a referendum on a united Ireland. Still stay in the UK. But in the case of a UK Brexit where there's no deal, at least we then can say that we either agreed to or disagreed with the backstop. That's democratic, isn't it?
No, the whole ethos of leaving or staying in the EU is a national question. That's why we had a national referendum. That's why how individual constituent parts voted was interesting but not conclusive. And likewise, any deal is a deal for the whole United Kingdom. So any determination has to be by the whole United Kingdom. So I don't assent to the idea that we simply carve off pieces and say you decide that and someone else decides something else. That's utterly incompatible with the fact
but
that the national...
Nobody's saying it's going to be carved off as part of the
national
United
issue.
Ireland. There's nobody here talking about United Ireland except for the DUP and people like yourself.
And except for the backstop, which sets us in a waiting room for United Ireland, whereby we are cut off from our main market. We are retained annexed.
You're not cut off from your main market.
No,
that's simply... That's... Hold on. That's not true.
There's not going to be a regulatory border down the Irish Sea. Goods which come from Great Britain, which are our...
So you're not cut off. You're not cut off.
Supermarket shelves, they're not going to be subject to regulation. I think, Stephen, you need to go back and read the backstop proposal.
Jim, with 30 years of troubles here, there's a border already down the Irish Sea. It's all technology. There can't be a car passing through these ports into the UK without them being watched. All the intelligence services know everybody's going back and forth. So it's already set up, mate. There's already a border there, if you're going to talk like that.
No, there are no regulatory checks on goods.
There's a border in your main.
There's
no border in anybody else's main.
Northern Ireland is not the only part of the United Kingdom that belongs to the EU Customs Union, which is what would happen under the backstop.
There are checks on...
So there are radical changes coming with this backstop. Which
there are checks on animal products, Jim, aren't there?
There are biosecurity checks in relation
to... Stephen, there's checks on Jim when he goes across the...
That is of no moment in comparison with what's been proposed.
Sorry, what were you saying, Daniel?
I'm saying there's checks on every single person that goes back and forth across the water. And I'm talking about in the South as well. The British mainland has security so good that it can't be equal to anywhere in the world because of the troubles here. So every single person's checked. Why do you think that the City of London want her to go ahead, want Theresa May to go ahead with the backstop? Because they know that they need it, and they know that the country needs it. The whole of Scotland, England, Wales depends on the backstop. Because you know why? Because they have to leave with no deal. It's going to badly affect the UK economy. And do you think they're going to allow a couple of DUP supporters in Northern Ireland to hold the rest of the country to ransom? You need to get your head tested, Jim.
Well, I don't think I need to get my head tested. I need to apply the logic that we voted to leave, and why are we being thwarted from leaving? Why are people determined...
People in Northern Ireland didn't vote to leave.
Well, I've already said, interesting that may be, it was never the question. The question was, should the United Kingdom leave? And I know that that's something that, Stephen, you struggle with, but that's the reality. It was a national question decided on a national basis and answered on a national basis.